Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be here again. I love it when I get to visit here. You guys are my number one supporting church, and pretty much my home church, so I really appreciate all of you and all the support you've been over the last 10 years since we went to Mozambique, and so it's been a great relationship, and I always love coming here and speaking, and I always love getting together with Steve and Lori, so I appreciate that, and so thank you, and this morning we are going to be looking, or continuing, because we did the men's breakfast, the life of Joseph. But before we start, I'd like to have just a quick word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that your word is powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we need your word because our hearts tend to stray without it. But Lord, your word can cut deep and change hearts and change lives. And we pray that this would not just be another Sunday, but this would be a time that our hearts were changed and moved and make us more like you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, real quickly, the story of Joseph. Joseph was a young man. We're really pretty much introduced to him when he's 17. But of course, we hear about him when his mom, Rachel, gives birth to him, and she's very excited because she's been waiting a long time to have kids. She's tried to manipulate the whole situation with her sister, and you guys know this story, right? Two ladies, sisters, good old Jacob is in love with Rachel. And he thinks she's the greatest. In fact, he can work for 7 years and the time will fly by like nothing because of his love for her. But then there's a guy named Laban, kind of a sneaky guy. On the wedding night, I don't know how he gets away with this, he slips in Leah instead of Rachel. So there's a different woman in his bed when he wakes up. Now that's... That's a story, I tell you. I don't even know how they swing this. I didn't get the daughter to go along with it. I don't know, but I don't even want to think about it too much. But they've been waiting a long time for Rachel, the love of his life, to have a son, and she has a son, and his name is Joseph. He's an amazing man of God. We don't see any failings on the part of Joseph throughout his life. There's only two people that I can think of in the entire Old Testament that don't have any sins recorded about him, and Joseph is one of them. He is an amazing man of God, and he is a man who has received the promises of God for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's part of that line in which he's received all of these wonderful promises. And they are fantastic promises that God has given to them. That they are going to prosper, that nations will come out of this family, that kings will come out of this family, and they've been given this wonderful promised land. Well, he's only a part of that, right? One of 12 young men, but he has a dream, and in his dream, he's in charge of all the other brothers. Right? So he's the head guy who gets all of the promises because he's going to be kind of the leader because he has a dream that all of his brothers are going to bow down to him. He also has a dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are going to bow down to him. So really this promise that came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for a larger part at least is being placed upon Joseph. And his father, I think, symbolizes this by giving him a coat of many colors. And he wears that, and he starts kind of telling on his brothers. They're just not doing things quite right, Dad. They could be doing things better. And then he sends them out. Go and check on them. Go and see what they're doing. Well, he's told his brothers these dreams. He's got a coat because his dad, the Bible actually says, loves him more than he loves the other kids. And they don't like him. So you know the story. He's thrown in the pit. He's sold as a slave. He becomes a slave. He does well in Potiphar's house as a slave. The wife says, he tried to rape me, but he didn't. He's thrown in prison. He goes to prison for years. He's a slave and a prisoner for 13 years. That's a long time. In those 13 years, God is still with him. God does a lot of things through him because he still has God's favor and God is with him. You see that every step of the way. His circumstances are the pits, for a little bit literally. His circumstances are bad. And yet, after all this time, well, he's in prison. He's been there 11 years in prison or a slave. And finally, a couple bigwigs come to prison. It's the chief cupbearer and the chief butler. Now, we pick up this story. It says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Now, he had a dream after 2 years. 2 years previously, these two bigwigs, men in Pharaoh's court, a cupbearer, the head cupbearer, and the head baker, they were both put in prison, and they were awaiting their fate to possibly die. Now, why would a butler, a baker, and the cupbearer be possibly under the sentence of death? What could have happened? Well, it's believed that since they're involved in food and drink, that possibly there was a plot to poison the Pharaoh. We don't know this, but from the circumstances, it's highly probable. So they're sitting in jail. They're very fearful. They both have dreams. And Joseph can interpret dreams. How come you guys are so glum? And Joseph tells him, I can't interpret this, but God can, because God is the giver of dreams, and he's the interpreter of dreams. And he tells them, cupbearer, 3 days, good news, you're going to be restored back to your position, everything's good. And I'm sure the baker was thinking, yeah, that's a good report. I want mine, too. Give me my interpretation. And I don't know why there isn't any filters on this, okay? He gives it to him straight, 3 days. Whack off your head, put your body on a pole, and the birds of the air are going to eat your flesh. Now, why does he add the birds of the air are going to eat your flesh? It seems like it's almost insult injury there. But he's just giving it to the way it is, and that's exactly what happened. And Joseph says, please remember me. I don't want to be in prison. I want to be free. I'm here, and I didn't do anything wrong. And this is wrong, and I want to be out of here. Please tell the Pharaoh. Tell him about me so I can get out of this prison. He doesn't want to be in prison. But you know what happens? Forgets him, right? The cupbearer forgets him. But after 2 full years, Pharaoh has a dream. He actually has 2 dreams. And in these 2 dreams, first of all, there are 7 cows. Beautiful cows. They come up. He's standing in the Nile, and these cows come up out of the Nile. They're fat and sleek cows. I'm not a cow person. I've never been around cows. I've only been around cows in Mozambique. And they look like the 7 gaunt and lean cows that we saw there. In fact, we went to one area where we actually did a distribution of food, and we did some seminars that was going through a famine. And when they had a famine, this area also raised cows. When the cows get so hungry, they come into the village and they eat the straw off the roofs. And they look bad. They look just like these 7. I have a picture of these 7 ones. I saw them in this one area. So these 7, after 7 beautiful cows, 7 ugly cows, come and gobble up. But they haven't gotten fat. They just ate a whole big giant cow and their stomach doesn't even stick out. Now, this is disturbing to Pharaoh. Then he has another dream, and this time he sees a thing of wheat with 7 heads on it. It looks beautiful, wonderful. This is kind of the prize wheat of Egypt. But then a bad wind comes, and there's this other 7 that looks scrawny and horrible and terrible, and they somehow, I don't know how, they don't really have a mouth, but they eat up the 7 good ears. And Pharaoh calls for all the magicians and all the wise people. Tell me what this means. And none of them can tell. They don't know. Now, I think they could have guessed. They could have guessed some things, but I think they're thinking in their mind, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be saying anything 7 days, 7 months, 7 years. I don't want to be wrong because I might be in the same position as that butler. I don't want to be wrong. And so they don't say anything. Better to be quiet. Then the cupbearer remembers, hey, I have a fault, Pharaoh. I forgot this guy. He's a young Hebrew. He was in the prison, and he told me the interpretation of my dream. And the Pharaoh says, get him! And the wording there is actually to run. They bolted to go get this guy who was in the prison of the Pharaoh. So he's not that far away. So I want you to picture this. Here's Joseph. He's in prison. And in a few minutes, these people come running in. They grab him. They make him clothe and bathe because he's in a dungeon. They actually use the word dungeon in the Bible. He probably doesn't smell all that great. He's bathed. He's shaved. He's given new clothes. And he's ushered into the Pharaoh. And this probably happens in about less than an hour, I would guess. Really fast. So I've entitled the message here, Life Can Change on a Dime, or Turn on a Dime. It really can. With God, God can just do miraculous. So here he is, he's been in prison, and he's got rags on, and he's not bathed very well, and he hasn't shaved, and all of a sudden he's standing in Pharaoh's court, and he's got good clothes on, and nothing is going to go back to the way it was. Everything is now going to change. Everything is going to be different. And so he says, now here, Pharaoh, I'm here. What do you want? I don't know if he says what he wants, but Pharaoh says, I have these dreams. Now tell me what they mean. And you know what Joseph says? I can't. That's his first words that we know of to the Pharaoh. I can't interpret this dream. Now that's probably not the right thing to say to the Pharaoh. It's probably not politically correct. They could have put a hood over his head and taken him away, you know, for that. But he goes on to say, but God can give you the interpretation. See, I don't have any ability, I don't have any power. I mean, he's been in prison or a slave for the last 13 years, but he hasn't forsaken God. He hasn't forgotten about God. He might be discouraged. He might be upset. He might be saying to God, why? Take this away from me. But God doesn't. 13 years is a long time. So he says, I can't, but God can. And then he tells him, we're going to have 7 amazing, abundant, wonderful, prosperous years. And then we're going to have 7 years of the worst famine we've ever seen. And people are going to forget about the 7 good years because of how crummy the 7 years are. Here's what you should do. Joseph tells him, because Joseph has the Spirit of God upon him. God is with him. God has prospered him in Potiphar's house as a slave. God prospered him in the prison where he's in charge. He's in charge of the prison. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's got very good clothes and he needs a bath and he needs a shave, but he was in charge of the prison. He ran everything because God was with him and prospered him. And so God gives him the answer to this dream. What you've got to do is you've got to put away a bunch of grain for the next 7 years, and it's going to be so abundant and there's going to be so much, you'll be able to take care of all of the people for the next 7 years. That's pretty amazing. In fact, the Bible says that Joseph was able to store up so much grain, he had to stop counting. They had all these officials counting, 600 bushels, 300 bushels, 300 bushels. He had to stop counting because they couldn't. It was like the sand of the seashore. They couldn't count it. It was so abundant. Now, it had to have been abundant because 20% of this abundance was able to help feed Egypt and the surrounding nations for 7 years. So you realize that it had to have been a lot to be able to provide that much extra grain so that they could have extra grain for 7 full years out of 20%. If you guys are math guys, you could probably figure that out, how many times bigger those crops were than previous crops. And so Joseph goes from the pit, the slavery, the prison, and in a heartbeat he's with Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, man, there's no one like you who has the Spirit of God. So Pharaoh says, I'm going to put you in charge. Get him a robe. Now it's another robe. This one's probably more expensive than the first one. Get him some jewelry and get him a nice signet ring. You're going to be in charge of all of Egypt, and everything you say goes. I'm the only one that's going to be over you, but you're going to be in charge of everything. They give him a chariot, a custom chariot. This is like a Lexus or something, you know, I don't know. Maserati maybe, it was a little sporty chariot, I don't know. But it's something really nice. And now he goes from, what a change, huh? It's like the homeless guy, all of a sudden he's driving around in the Maserati with a suit, you know, and going to... It's a change. It's a transformation because God is able to do things like that in a heartbeat because God does everything well and God can do anything, right? Amen. Well, all of a sudden he's got a signet ring. He's in charge. People are going before him saying, listen to this guy. He's in charge now. And the story does go on. And as the story goes on, guess who comes when they run out of food to Egypt? There's 10 of his brothers, the 10 people that put him in this pit, the 10 that were so mad about this dream, they come, and what is the first thing they do when they see Joseph? Whoom! They bow down to him, not even knowing it's Joseph. Because God's word never fails, and God's word is true. Amen. And why did Joseph receive a dream 13 years earlier? To encourage him through the hard times. The Word of God is supposed to be so on our mind that when we go through bad things, we can go saying, it's bad, but it's going to be great. It's bad, but it's going to be good. Now, you can think of Joseph. He's there. He's like the second most powerful guy in the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And he's got a lot of authority. He's given, a beautiful new wife. And he's happy. And he has kids. And now everything's going well. And he's got to be, man. But he's got to be appreciating that more than anyone else. Because he knows how bad it was. He knows where he was. And now he's in a place of amazing prosperity. And life can change on a dime. But I want you to know that only circumstances changed in Joseph's life. Joseph didn't change. God didn't change. God and his relationship with Joseph didn't change. God was always with him. God was always prospering him, even in horrible situations. God never forsaked him. God always showed him favor. And God had given him a promise, it's not always going to be this way. And I want you to know that he has done the exact same thing for every single one of you. He has already said, listen, don't worry about things now. Don't you know you're going to judge angels? I don't know what that means, but we're going to judge angels. Now, that's putting us in a place that is beyond any kind of comprehension. Now, remember, God is infinite. Heaven is infinite. And what we're going to be doing there for all of eternity is going to be different every day. I mean, some people kind of think, I'm just going to be on a cloud, and I'm going to walk to the throne, I'm going to worship, I'm going to go back. Now, you're going to be doing something new and wonderful, and because God is infinite. When we think about this universe that is so vast, that he spoke into existence with a word, it is going to be amazing. We are going to be skipping on streets of gold. And not only that, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. That is better than ruling and reigning in Egypt. That's better than the new chariot. That's better than the clothes or the jewelry. It's going to be ruling and reigning with our Savior, Jesus Christ, who owns everything and is much more powerful than any Pharaoh. We get that. And it's already promised to us so that we would have these wonderful promises in the Word if we would live by them. even though all of our circumstances are, I almost want to use a bad word here, but I'm not going to because I'm a pastor. They're just crud. All of these circumstances that we're going through are crud, but we still have the promises of ruling and reigning and wonderful things to come. Nothing changes in the circumstances. People go through difficult things in this life. They go through things like cancer and death of loved ones. And they get forsaken by people in divorce, or they lose a job. And bad things happen in these circumstances. But through those circumstances, nothing changes between you and God unless you let it. God is always with you. God is always there beside you. He's never forsaken you. But sometimes he says to you, no. Did you know that? Actually, he doesn't say no. I'm going to explain that in a second. Remember when Paul had a thorn in the flesh? Do you remember that thorn in the flesh, Paul? Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and three times went, God, take this thorn in the flesh. I don't care what it was. It doesn't really matter. I think it's good that we don't know what it is, because you can insert whatever you want in there. I think it's good when God doesn't clearly show us stuff, because then we can insert whatever we want into that thorn in the flesh. Don't say it's your spouse or something. I don't want any of that kind of nonsense. Something was bad, really bad, in Paul's life, and he prayed three times. And what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So he did not say no. He said, my plan's better. Because I think God only has three answers to prayer. Yes, wait, and I have something better. Not no. I mean, it is no, right? I mean, you know, he said no to Paul. But really what he also said was, yeah, I'm saying no, but it's because I have a better plan. I've got something better for you. Lord, give me this. I've got something better than that. I'm not going to give you that, but I got something better. You better trust me because I'm a little smarter than you. You know, God's a little smarter than us. I don't care how many degrees you have. God's a little smarter than all of us. He knows the beginning from the end, and he is wonderful. And so life can change on a dime. This is the wonderful thing about Christianity. You could be in the worst situation in the world, and God could change it in an instant because God is all-powerful. He's on your side. He's with you. He can do anything. And so your life could change just today if he wanted to. Maybe he's saying, wait. Maybe he's saying, I've got something better. Maybe he's saying, I've got to say yes, and everything's going to change. Because that's the God we serve. And he's already given us kind of the coat of many colors. Maybe not literally, but you have all those promises. You have that dream. I love dreams. I believe in dreams. I probably told you this story, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. But when I was in Mozambique, we took over a center in central Mozambique, and then we kind of ran the whole center for this very large denomination that had several thousand churches in Mozambique. We ran this center, and as we ran this center, there was a little church on there with a grass roof. No, I'm sorry. It was mud and sticks, and it actually had an old metal roof that was all rusty. And it was kind of small. Around it, some previous missionary had built a, and I probably told you this, but had built a giant foundation all the way around it, about 5,000 or 6,000 square feet. And I think that's kind of ridiculous. We haven't even filled this grass hut one. I mean, we haven't even, and I don't want, I'm working with all these other churches. We have doctors here. We have a school. I got a lot of things going on. I don't want anything to do with that church. I don't want to pastor that church. I don't want to build that church. That's too big a thing. I want to just be responsible for reaching out and doing seminars and outreaches to all the other churches. And so for a year, I said, I'm working with the other churches. I just left the pastor that was there and let them do what they wanted. And I actually had a dream. You know, what's kind of disturbing is that it says that your young men will... No, they're going to see visions. What are your old men going to do? I was kind of discouraged. That means I am old if I'm having dreams. I want the visions. I want to go back to the visions. But I guess I have to admit I'm old. I just had a prophecy not that long ago saying the second half of my life was going to be better than my first. It means I'm going to live to be 120. This is pretty awesome. I think it's... I might have been 58, so 116 years if my math is correct. But I had a dream in which there was this big sanctuary, and I actually pictured it, with a metal roof and metal trusses, and it was filled with pastors. And I woke up, and I said to my wife, I think we have to build that church. And she said, well, that's okay. I know you don't want to, but, you know, we don't have any money anyway, so it doesn't matter. Now, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are the head of a very large international ministry. I think they're in 24 countries with 400 missionaries or something. They have a lot of resources, and my sister-in-law is actually quite amazing. The very next day, she calls up to Lorena, my wife. I had a vision yesterday of the church being built and being full, and I've sent the first $20,000 to have that done. Wow. And I'm like, I guess we're building that church. We built the church, and I don't know, Steve's seen pictures of it. You can go on my Facebook page and see pictures of it. We had it on Easter. We actually only have only filled it at Easter because it's a huge building. But I believe in dreams. I believe in visions. I believe in prophecy. There's been a lot of, I've had a lot of wrong, weird prophecies. So there is a temptation in my life to despise prophecy. But I'm not going to despise prophecy. I'm going to test everything, and I'm going to hold on to what is good. And I'm going to believe God for visions and dreams and prophecy, because the Bible says in the last days, your young men are going to see these visions, and your old men are going to dream these dreams, and you're going to have prophecies, and let's just believe it. Because I know something about this story, and the number one thing that struck me as I went through this story of Joseph that made me pray and repent was when I was studying about Joseph, God can do amazing things like that. In a minute or two, he can do more than you could do in 1,000 years. And it made me think, Lord, I need to pray more. I am the kind of person that will work, 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 work. Oh, yeah, I should be praying, 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 praying. And I had to say, Lord, help me. Help me to pray more, because the power of God is so much more valuable than even my work and my back and my running around. He can do stuff so amazing. I told all the men yesterday, since we came home from Mozambique for my son's wedding, we came home because we needed to take care of Lorena's mom. And once she passes away, we're going back overseas again. And we're kind of in that limbo there. Actually, it's a very difficult time. I would rather be out preaching. I really would. It's hard, like, sitting. It's hard going to church. I have a hard time going to church on Sunday and sitting there. I haven't done it for 30 years, so it's very difficult for me to do that. But we have noticed that since we left, we're doing more seminars now than we ever did when we were there. I mean, we did have 9 years to raise up leaders and teams to go in. We were never able to get into one of the provinces that had the most churches of this one denomination. And because of persecution and problems in the church, it actually opened the door wide open. And now we've already done two seminars there. And we've trained up two more leaders to do that. And things are expanding and growing, and we're not there because the power of God is more important than me. More important than what I'm doing. God wants to use us, and that's how he does everything. He does everything through us, but man, we need more power. We really need the power of God, because the power of God can do things instantly and immediately where it might take us a long time. So we have the story of Joseph. You know, he really... is not really Joseph the dreamer. You know, as far as we know, we only had the two dreams, right, when he was 17. He's more Joseph the interpreter of dreams. But, of course, those dreams were there when he was 17 to sustain him, to help him to go on. And I guess I'd like to ask you this morning, Would you want to be Joseph? I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, I'm looking around here, and maybe some of you don't have 13 years plus 80 years left. But I want you to imagine, okay, that you can live to be 110 like Joseph. And now you get to know the whole picture, because Joseph only got to see what was happening that day. He didn't get to see that he was going to rule in Egypt for 80 years, okay? I don't know, maybe he retired at 100, I don't know. But he had a wonderful life, I'm sure, for 80 years. So I'm going to let you pick. You get to know 13 years of prison and being a slave and 80 years of abundance. Would you want to do that? And I would say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do 13 years in prison. I did 8 hours in prison. I have done 8 hours. I've served time. I wouldn't pay a bribe to a traffic controller, and he stuck me in jail on a Friday on a four-day weekend. And I was a little panicked. I know what happens in those jail holding cells. And I was kind of, that was the worst, maybe the worst 8 hours of my, I've had worse, but the worst 8 hours anyway of my life. I had all these pastors coming in and talking to the prison officials and stuff, because I still had my cell phone. I had to pay a little extra to sit out in the lobby. They made me take off my shoelaces. They didn't want me hanging myself, I guess, in the prison. And that was freaky. That was 8 hours. And I tell you, I still have a sick feeling about that. So I would say no. I'm not doing 13 years as a slave, and even for 80 years of abundance. Now, but let me add to that. Joseph probably saved 500,000 people's lives from starvation. Probably. I'm guessing. You think that's a conservative estimate, that he saved at least 500,000 people from starvation? Probably. Maybe more. Now, if you asked me, what if you could save 500,000 people from starvation? Then would you do it? I think I'd change my mind. And if I asked you, 13 years, 80 years, plus you get to save 500,000 people from starvation, I think most of you would say, okay, sign me up. I don't want to do it, but if I'm going to save. And that is redemption, right? That is really a picture of what Jesus did, right? I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die for the joy set before me. The joy wasn't the cross. The joy was us for all of eternity saved. Billion or more people saved in heaven with him forever. So Jesus did that. So I might do that. I don't know. I don't know if I should do a show of hands. Who would do that to save 500,000 people? But the reality is, if you think about it, that is the situation today. You know, you already got the promises like Joseph. You're not going to get 80 years over here, 13 years over here, you know. And you're going to get whatever difficulties it takes to do the Lord's will compared with all of eternity in paradise, right? So maybe there's some inconveniences I might experience by sharing my faith, by going somewhere and doing something, by giving some of my money and not have as many comforts as I have here. And maybe there's some suffering or difficulties or trials over here that I might choose for the gospel in order to help save people, in order to help people not die. I might be able to do some things right here and suffer for a little while, but I've got to compare it to all of eternity. And I think that is a lot of times the choices we have in life, isn't it? A lot of times that's what we're choosing. Am I gonna just give a little, suffer a little, not have as much for a little while, maybe give up some comforts in order to maybe save some lives of people that might die if I didn't? Maybe it's clean water, maybe it's medicine, maybe it's AIDS relief, maybe it's evangelism and you can save people for all of eternity. And maybe it's going to be a little difficult, and maybe it's going to be a little hard, but you know what? I got all eternity coming. And I'm not going to be able to have those choices when I get there. And there's going to be an infinite, wonderful time. I'm excited to meet together with a few of my... it's amazing how many... the provincial pastor, one of our top leaders, he just died last week. But man, I get to skip on streets of gold with him anytime I want. It's been 1,000 years. I should go over and visit Pastor Jose. It's been 500,000,000,000 years. I ought to see that guy I didn't like. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, it's got the comparison. I think we have to think about that. So, sacrificially serve him, even if it costs you. Sometimes God will say no, but really he's saying, I've got something better. God can do more in a few minutes, right? Than we could do for all of eternity. If we could work our whole lives and God could do more. But he chooses to do it through people. Everything God does on this earth, his power is done through people. I'm sure there's other things he's done, maybe, but it seems like when he wants to evangelize or help or bless or move in a place, he wants to do it through us. Don't give up on dreams. I think part of what we need is a belief in the power of God, more visions, more dreams, more things that are led by the Lord. And I think we should pray for that. If we're old, we can pray for dreams. If we're young, we can pray for visions. And God can show us those areas in which we could be more like Joseph, but more important, we could be more like Jesus. Because that's who Jesus is. You know, It's interesting. Just over the last few weeks, my wife has been kind of getting visions on what she wants to do when we go back. Now, we have decided that we are going back as soon as Loretta's mom is no longer with us. So that's totally in the Lord's hands, because she's 95 and not doing well. So we're thinking next summer. We don't know. She said she was going home on her birthday. She told us that. She told everybody. She announced it to everybody. I'm going home. So people are asking, is this a birthday party we're coming for her 95th birthday or a wake? I mean, she was actually telling everybody, I'm going to die. And she wants to go home and be with Jesus. She's been a missionary for 50 years with her husband who already died. She wants to go home and be with the Lord. She can't walk anymore. She has to get a wheelchair. She can get to a walker to go to the bathroom, and that's about it. So it's not what she wants to do. And so my wife feels we need to be here, and I agree. This is what we need to be doing for this season, even though it's difficult. But after that, we plan on going back overseas. And the Lord is already giving Lorena visions of what she's supposed to be doing there. We're going to Asia. And our plan right now, by the way, we're going next month to India. We do have some family coming to take care of Lorena's mom. And we're going for the month of November to 4 different provinces in India to do pastoral training. And my wife is going to do women's seminars. And she's also writing a book with her friends of stick figures on how to teach the illiterate and how illiterates can teach other illiterates, because that is a huge part. She's making a stick figure book, so anybody could teach her to know it. But she has a vision, because we actually want to move to Thailand, because in Thailand we can fly all around Asia super cheap. It's only like $75 to go to Malaysia or Singapore, $99 to go to Jakarta, and $150 to go to Delhi. You can go anywhere in Asia if you live in Bangkok area. But she already has a vision of going and doing children's ministry on the border in the refugee camp. She goes, I really think I should be going to the refugee. Now, when my wife, she says something like that, it's going to happen. It always has. It's happened for the last, 36 years since we've been married. Anything the Lord has shown her, she's done. And the other thing she wants to do, she's already arranging groups of people. She wants to have at least once or twice a month, she wants to have invite everybody she can from the community to a community center, and she wants to pray for everybody who's sick. That's what she wants to do. I mean, she's already got this vision. Now, you got to remember, my wife, when she prays for people, it's amazing how many get healed. This is a true story. About 3 days ago, she's at Planet Fitness at the gym. She's at the gym, about to conclude. She's at the gym, and there's a man sitting there in the lobby, and she got a phone call, and he's like, got this terrible look on his face, like he's in total pain. And she comes out, "Are you okay? Something wrong?" And he goes, "Well, I had open heart surgery. I'm in horrible pain, and you know, I'm finally back working out, but it's really hard." And she goes, "Well, you mind if I grab somebody from the church that's here? We pray for you." And he said, "Yeah, I guess." You know, people, what are you going to say, you know? And so she goes and grabs this guy that is a part of the church that we're a part of. And they come over, and they start to pray for him. And he said he felt the Lord come upon him, and he just is weeping in the lobby. Now, here's the lobby of Planet Fitness. And he's making kind of a scene. But she doesn't care. My wife doesn't care. She's praying, right? And he was so happy. He said, "I don't have any more pain. This is awesome." You know, the first thing that struck me about my wife when we first met many years ago was that all of her friends were people she led to the Lord in high school. That's who her friends were. I guess that's my wife. You know, sometimes we can just get visions and step out and believe God to do things because God can. For who is God except the Lord? And who but our God is a solid rock? God is my fortress, and he makes my way perfect. And I think we should seek his way and do it, even if it's going to be a little difficult and might cost us. Maybe that's okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we can work really hard trying to do things for you, but Lord, what we need is just to know you better. Forgive me, Lord, for all the working without praying and all the labor without relationship. So, Lord, may I draw closer to you and see you do more. But I want to pray that for every single person here, Lord, that today, through this message, they might think about and act upon your word. That they might seek you for more visions and dreams and your perfect way. So, Lord, help us to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lord, we want you to guide our path. We want to see you do miraculous things. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.